You are about to receive messages that may be harmful to your mental state. Your sense of reality will be questioned. Your view on things will be altered. You are now part of the Meta. The Meta controls everything. The Meta determines what will and will not happen. You are watching the Meta Show.
And good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Meta Show. Today is August the 8th, 2020. I am Bruce Ruval. I am joined, as always, by everybody's favorite space tyrant, the Mitani. How are you,
sir? Hello. I'm good. I'm going to be a little bit off today, not only because of the tragic loss of the culture's keep star in J5A, which is near and dear to my heart, but also because I am not used to, I've lost the ability, I mean, I have to train my way back into it, training montage style, to run my mouth for 4 hours straight, because I'm so used to, over the course of this war for the last several weeks, like a month now, I'm used to doing my fireside chat after the Meta Show, because during the normal hours of like meetings and Meta Show things, I would be, we would be in the client responding to invasions and attacks and stuff like that. And today, for the first time since the war started, we just had a normal Saturday Space Drawers day where like meetings, fireside chat, Meta Show. And I'm like, wow, I can't, this is, talking for 4 hours straight, actually, sometimes it gets a little difficult. So I got my water. I've got to get Zen here. Maybe I'll haze a few nerds in chat and that'll get me back on my groove.
I like it.
It's interesting. Here we are. Okay. Let's do
this. So here we go. We got, obviously this week has been, pretty quiet when it comes to the war. We'll get to that later. We have some other news. I mean, there's been a lot of news outside of the war this week. Now, we're on the 33rd day of the war. If you all recall, war started July 5th. Today is August the 8th. It's been 33 days. We're still going. We're still doing our thing. I'm worked on. Mitani's mic is up again, so don't worry, guys. You'll be able to hear him and lovely 4K sound or whatever it is. But I wanted to talk a little bit about some other stuff that's going on in EVE. First, we have our guest, Phantomite, who's going to be joining us in a little while to talk about what happened in LoSec and then what's going on with the weather in NullSec. But I wanted to start off on my soapbox briefly just with a word that is very near and dear to my heart because I hate it so much, and that word is collusion. As you guys know, I'm not a fan of collusion. There should be no collusion in EVE. We don't like collusion. Collusion is bad. We don't do that. I've never done that. Been accused, never did it. But one of the things that we have seen in both this time and the last time for these filament PvP arenas has been allegations and some obviously proven claims of collusion, especially amongst those who are spending a lot of time and energy on trying to be the top in these groups. I think it pains me to say this. This is EVE. We knew it was going to happen. It was almost inevitable that you were going to have guys trying to game the system. Even though the rewards here are nothing really more than bragging rights and some skins, the fact is people are still trying to cheat in order to get ahead. I find that frustrating. So I just like to say, if you are having fun in these PvP Abyssal rooms, you're having fun going in there and fighting with people, you did the 2v2 cruisers, you did the five-man free-for-alls, you're looking at maybe doing the Imperial Slicers this weekend, I would do that if I were you, because the Slicers, at least that one's going to be fair. It's only three Slicers versus three Slicers. I try it out. If you're doing that, I hope you're having fun. If you're running up against the colluders, I hope you kick their asses. So I think it's frustrating to me to see what I think was probably a pretty good, or at least a newfangled idea in EVE that was introduced that I think players generally seem to have liked. I haven't heard a lot of complaints except for the usual people that complain about everything. I hate to see the fact that this is being gamed by a handful of people who seem to think that it matters and they'd rather cheat than win outright. So that's frustrating to me. I hope it's frustrating to you. If you see this stuff, primary those guys first. Don't collude. Fight each other and have fun and do this in the spirit in which all of these tools created were invented. That's my soapbox. I'm done.
Oh, I guess I get to play devil's advocate. So
go ahead.
Collusion is delightful fun. I think, I haven't been keeping track of the instance drama because I was setting up. I'm not making this up. This is a sign of where things are with the war and, the situation. But I had enough time and bandwidth to get sucked down the rabbit hole of setting up 24 planets worth of PI, which is still.
Why would you do that to yourself?
I want to build citadels to hurt our enemies, and I had all these executor alts lying around, and I'm like, I can set up P0 to P2s, and before my move, actually, it would be like 3 a.m, and I'd be smoking weed, and like I started watching PI tutorials on YouTube, and I've just been playing this game a lot. It's pretty ridiculous, but anyway, so obviously I believe that we're going to be able to defend our space, otherwise I wouldn't have set up, 24 planets worth of stuff. But it's interesting that I even have the bandwidth for that. But collusion, what I want to talk about there is when I heard about these guys doing these, because I assume what you're talking about is the where like five dudes or whatever will all mash the button at the same time to get queued in a group. And we used to do that all the time in World of Warships and World of Tanks with the Goonswarm group. We would do that. And it was hilarious for pub stomping. And eventually, like, they adjusted the matchmaker such that you couldn't do that. But far be it from me to say that you shouldn't do that. I should probably turn off Global Command if I'm on the meta show here. We almost got a little boat on the meta show there. That would have been hilarious.
That would have been, I thought I heard Marana in the background. It was making me happy.
Anyway, credit to the guys who are colluding, right? Like, unless CCP actually implements a system where, they change the matchmaker to prevent that, it's a perfectly legitimate use of game mechanics, and it clearly makes people very angry. And also, I don't give a shit about it. So I'm, for me, like, it's no, we would do the same thing. So I'm not going to throw stones. But if CCP wants that to not happen, CCP should adjust the system such that it's impossible to do. But like, any kind of a group PvP matchmaker, I mean, this is like the first thing you learn how to do is to join as a group so you can coordinate and skull fuck people. But yeah, so that's interesting. And I'm gonna, let's see, in terms of soapboxy stuff, do I have a soapbox? I don't think I do.
There's not much to soapbox this week. It's been quiet.
Not right? For me anyway. Yeah, like I'm not, I don't really, I was asked some questions. We're going to be talking about this later on the show, guys. I was asked some questions on the Fireside just before the show, which is again weird. For the last several weeks, I've given Firesides after the meta shows, but the bads, there's barely any bads in chat here. We're used to having bads turn up here and howl and herf blurfs, and I expected to be able to troll people today about the culture's keep star loss. Anyway, yeah, no, we'll be talking about a lot of the things from the last several weeks that we haven't had a chance to really dig into, like the command ship changes. We're going to be talking about the whole NullSec, like the Fozzy storms or whatever we're going to end up calling it, and sort of go from there. And so this is going to be nice. It should be sort of a nice traditional show. And we have as a guest, I'm pretty excited about. So one of the things that's been really interesting to see kick off in EVE in the last several weeks, when the whole of EVE is totally focusing on the Imperium, is a developing conflict in LoSec. When I say developing, I mean it's actually been creating much larger battles in terms of ISK lost on all sides. Between Snuffed Out, Siege Green, CVA got involved in this the other day, and I don't understand any of it because obviously my focus has been on the whole war that we're in, World War B. There's only one World War B, by the way. I've been seeing some people talk about it like a World War B2. There's only World War B and the Casino War. We need to remind people of this. But it's fascinating because when we were deployed against Snuffed Out, the amount of battles that we were having in terms of LoSec, we didn't really get to see like a LoSec versus LoSec fight. So we have Phantomite, who I'm hoping that I'm not fucking his name up, who is on the CSM, and he is going to explain to us later on in the show what the hell is going on out there, because it's lots of explosions and it's there Snuffed Out versus Koreans in LoSec, and it's very 2020. Let's just put it like that. It's very 2020. So let's dive into it. Let's get there.
Here we go. All right, Phantomite, unmute. You're ready.
Oh, yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are joined today by Phantomite, CSM13. He is a member of 420 MLG Twin Turbo 3000 Empire Alliance Reloaded. I have practiced saying that.
Don't remind me of that. I hate it. I hate it so much.
How did you let Beltram do that to you?
because several months ago he had been pushing this. Baltram thinks that this name is funny. It's a joke that is funny for 30 seconds 10 years ago, but he thought it was genuinely funny, and he kept on begging that we switch to this alliance name. And one day, I mean, he's a CEO; he could do what he likes. But apparently, he wants my approval for that kind of thing, even though he's the leader in the FC of this group. And he kept on asking me, telling me it would be going to be great. And then I said, "Tell you what, if I get elected onto the CSM, sure, you can change over to that alliance name." And now here I am with that tag underneath my name. Brilliant.
Well, we're happy to have you with us. I've gotten to know Phantomite pretty well over the last couple months. We've been serving on CSM 15 together. He's kind of our low sec guru. And just so you guys are aware, I mean, obviously, if you've been paying attention to Reddit, you probably saw this. We have one of the biggest low sec cap fights in a while this week. Let me throw up here. I'll throw up on the screen the numbers here. If you just want to look at this, there were 683 ships lost on the Siege Green side. On the other side, the snuffed out side, that included Phantomite and Hard Knox and CVA and Laserhawks and some other wormhole guys, they lost 503 ships. It was almost a $1 trillion fight. It was about 800 billion isk worth of assets lost, a ton of dreads, a ton of structures, and this was kind of a huge deal. And it's not something that we see very often when it comes to low-sec style brawl. So can you walk us through what happened there and the history of these groups fighting with each other?
Yeah, I mean, there are several stages, you know. There's the YR snuff in Lantorn, and then there's, you know, exactly how this fight went there. Lantorn has, for a few years now, been quite a traditional retreat for snuffed out. Obviously, in past years, snuffed out have been bigger than they are currently as well. But I, in the trips to Lantorn while I was a member of Snuffed Out, I was involved in this fight here on the Snuff side, even though I'm not a member of Snuff currently. Trips to Lantorn with Snuff are literally for the purpose of turning up and saying, "Here I am, want to shoot me?" That's what it's for. There's nothing that Snuff is attempting to gain from a trip to Lantorn that is of any long-term, you know, use or profit or any strategic assets of any kind. It is literally a "here I am, are you going to shoot me or not" type thing. And, you know, structures definitely help with that. You know, it certainly is a focal point and a time to congregate. It's not particularly different this time either. Snuff is in Lantorn to wave themselves in front of other people and end up with dread bombs, of which there have actually been, in the past 2 weeks, there have been multiple dread bombs involving Snuff, not on this scale, but and not always with Snuff coming out too well on the other end of it either. But bloody as this one was for Snuff, I think it's a clear win this time round.
So if you're looking, I mean, looking at the report, obviously you guys really beat the hell out of their dread fleet, which was, I think, pretty impressive given that.
Oh yeah. And it hurt as well.
I mean, obviously, yes. I mean, now that's the thing. Now, so in the end, this was over a structure, right? This was over a faction Fortizar that Snuff had dropped in Lantorn. Had that just been dropped, or has that been there for a while?
I believe somebody will need to fact check this, but I believe it was dropped for this deployment.
Okay. So then this was the armor timer, and they were able to kill it, or at least to get it repped. Is that right? Or did you guys stop?
Indeed. Okay. If I remember correctly, there is another timer set to end tomorrow, which could be the salvation or the end of that Fortizar, one way or another.
Now, do you guys expect there to be another big fight like you had Tuesday tomorrow as well?
Well, There are two ways that I feel about it. On one hand, for the game and for the players, I really hope there is. I really hope there is, and I wouldn't be surprised if there was. Personally, about half an hour in that kind of fight is enough for me before I start to personally get bored. You know, once I've harvested 40 Dreadnought kill mails for my character that I was playing. I'm kind of ready to just go and do something else, to be honest.
You're sick of dread kill mails? That's I didn't realize that that could actually happen.
If anything happens tomorrow and I get bored, can you take over for me?
We'll see. I'm kind of curious though. One of the questions is like, when we went to LoSEC, there were lots of very large fights, but in many cases, one of the challenges of LoSEC, of course, is that usually these guys know how to escape, right? Like you don't have bubbles there. I'm just kind of curious as to why. Did they just all decide that they were going to take this seriously and like fight to the death about stuff? Because like, you know, when we did our Gunfleet Expeditionary Force deployment, and I'm sort of done with trying to conquer LoSEC because I've just decided I have failed so many times of trying to get us to get into LoSEC and like do things there that I'm like, okay, they don't come to NullSec for a reason. Maybe we should learn the lesson and stop bothering with trying to make the whole LoSEC thing happen.
What do you think your roadblocks were last time?
Inability to kill things, right? Because we're used to fighting with bubbles, and like the way that things work in NullSec is hold somebody down and you beat the shit out of them until they're paced.
It's well known that goons can't tackle.
Right.
That's a common thing.
Like basically that meant that when a NullSec entity goes to LoSEC, the amount that you are able to kill is contingent upon the enemy's desire and willingness to basically put things on the field and then keep them there. Because if they decide to disengage, they're going to be better at disengaging in LoSEC.
I mean,
and
plus
so
you've
it's
got
weird,
things like bombs
these
as well.
Guys,
it's not
like,
just bubbles, is it?
Yeah,
it's bombs
no,
and they're
no
a big
bubbles,
killer as well.
No
yeah.
bombs. Like it's a completely different scenario. And so it was strange to me to see, you know, because these guys they don't have to fight if they don't want to, and to see suddenly like snuffed out going like, you know, 150 bill here, 200 bill here, like just these huge fights. And I was wondering if you could talk for a little bit about like what has motivated these guys to actually have these huge fuckfest fights. Is it because they think the other side is like they consider it's roughly even against each other, so both sides are continuing to escalate? Like, why is this happening?
You know, it's a really good question, because, you know, it'd be easy for me to say something along the lines of, oh, yeah, because they can get even numbers, something like that. I mean, something that I was certainly aware of the last Imperium incursion into LoSEC to go and have a go at Snuff. I was also during that time, I was living just a few jumps away from Rakapas, one jump away from Hallinan, was it, where you were staging?
Hakkanen?
No. Yep. No, it was Hallinan, wasn't it? Had a fort up and everything. Had a dread battle there.
We weren't staging there, but we might have had a fort there.
Anyway, so I'll bring it. I'll look it up on the map at the same time.
So Renan and
Snuff didn't.
Was that it?
Snuff, like you know, just 2 months ago, you know. I mean, Snuff didn't appear to me as an observer at the time there to really have the same level of set of allies contributing like happened 2 days ago with this dread brawl here. It wasn't just snuffed out to, you know, it's snuffed out certainly were leading this their side of it here, but there were many certainly many not small groups assisting on the snuffed out side. It wasn't just Imperium versus largely just Snuff, which is what it's appeared to be there. Having a look, it wasn't Hallinan, it was Nenamela.
Nenamela. Yeah, there was a fight there. We didn't stage there, but we did have a fight there.
Unpronounceable low sex systems.
Oh, I'll tell you what, throw any of them to me. I've lived in all of Kaldari North. I can pronounce all of those by now.
Vlyria.
A line to V.
A line to VLI. There we go.
So, Phantom, I wanted to ask, you know, just in general, we have heard, obviously, NullSec thinks ever the world revolves around us, which is likely true sometimes. But I had heard that part of this fight, the way that it turned out, was because one of the groups on the snuffed outside had reinforced a horde iHub, and Gobbins got angry and took 300 angry beans over and helped erect the fort. Did you guys hear that? Is that true? Is that part of what happened here?
Was it in Eagles?
I can't remember what they were in. I'm not sure. Might have been Eagles.
If it was Eagles, then that's the most I'm aware of it. I'm sure that there are people who will have the right answer for that there. But if it was Eagles, then I am thinking of the right group that was there. But, you know, it was reasonably uncomplicated for me, because I think I died in a revelation just before they arrived.
There you go. So,
and
all right.
Then
so,
then
how
I
often
left to go downstairs and relax for a bit?
Now you noted before that this is not the first dread bomb that you guys have seen down there. How many other times have there been dread bombs in this?
I've seen at least two. As a comparatively very small group, what you can do, there's plenty of things that you can do as a small group around somebody else's massive dread bomb if it's happening one system away. Most obviously, getting a little bit of loot. Which hasn't worked out well for me because I've ended up dying with the loot in my cargo, but it's worth a try.
Got it. All right. Well, I was interested. I mean, we wanted to talk about this because anytime you have an almost Trillian-esque fight, regardless of where it is, that's enough for us to want to talk about it. Especially
these are the kind of fights that we thought we would be having when this war started.
Right.
And, it is actually really kind of like, that's another reason why this has been so strange to see, is that these huge Isklaw, the amount of asset destruction that's happening in this grudge match or whatever the fuck it is that's happening in Losec, things are actually getting blown up. And like, as far as like monthly reimbursement on the Imperium side for subcapital losses, like we were just like, oh hey, like FC lost a fight by like 15 billion ISK, and like, ooh, that's like a thing now. And it's like, compared to when we were fighting stuff just before the war started, we were like shedding, oops, here's a 300 billion ISK whelp, or whoops, there's, 70 here, 50 there, explosions, excitement. It's just been kind of strange to see, like, oh, now it's all in one second. All right.
There you go.
Do you think this could be something to do with the lack of bubbles and tackle? When there isn't, when you can't just bubble an entire carrier group and then start going at them, you need to do something a little bit more drastic, like drop some dreads on them rather than just tackle them and then munin them to death.
I think it's possible. I mean, I think it definitely changes the dynamic. It's easier for you guys to warp in at zero and drop a Sino.
Bingo,
and then, hit a dread bomb because you don't have to worry about somebody bubbling. There's no drag bubbles.
Is that
nobody's
better
gonna
for PvP or not?
Well, I think it's different. That's the thing. I think it's different. I don't know if it would make a difference in terms of whether the fights would happen, but it definitely makes the tactics different and things that traditionally we would have. I mean, a fight like this, big dread fight like this would always have a bomber wing or something cloaked somewhere waiting to go to hit the munis when they were all, bunched up, or to try to hit fighters when they were attacked, any of that kind of stuff. But you can't do that. And you can't do the same thing with no bubbles. You can't put drag bubbles up to move things around. You can't protect your fleet with any of that kind of stuff. So in the end, I think it's different. But anyway, we thought this was interesting enough to talk about, so we wanted to talk about it a little bit. But because we have Phantomite here, I wanted to switch over. We're going to do a Piercing the Corporate Veil segment and talk about the big CCP announcement this week, which is the coming of weather to Nullsec, which I think is pretty interesting. Let's do that now. All right, and we are back. And I wanted to talk about this a little bit because I think this is going to have an impact on the Nullsec meta, and I think it may have an impact on the war depending on where these storms end up being. But this week we had an announcement from CCP. It was written in a blog post. Well, it wasn't even a blog post, a forum post by CCP Fozzy, which of course means that whatever it is, we'll name it after him, whether we like it or not. So some people have started calling these Fozzy storms, but what the name of it is Metaliminal Storms. And there's some lore, Triglavian related lore, that they've come up with for these storms in Nullsec. But essentially what they're going to do is there's going to be eight storms at any one time roaming Nullsec in a random pattern. There are four types. One is weak, one is strong. They have a core system where the effects are the strongest, and then effects radiate out from the core system. The four types of storms, there's one is called the gamma ray, and that includes some major changes that essentially there's a resist buff nerf for explosive. It increases shield HP, but it reduces by 90% remote rep possibilities, which is kind of crazy. And it also spawns extra rogue drone combat sites. There's a electrical storm, which I think is going to be the big deal one that everybody's going to be talking about because its feature is no cloaking in those areas. And whether it's a weak or it's a strong storm, and no matter how far out it is in the storm, there's no cloaking in that area. That's going to have, I think, a pretty big impact potentially on the meta, especially if it gets anywhere near the war zone. In addition to that, There's capacitor recharge time changes, probe strength changes, but that's not a huge deal. It also spawns extra relic sites, so explorers may want to follow this around, but it's going to make it harder to explore because you can't cloak. So that's going to be interesting.
So one of the things that the guys brought up in chat, I think Omni was asking this question, which was basically, we have two CSM representatives here. I forgot about this, that you guys had written a big open letter basically saying CCP don't fuck with a war with anything during this because, you know, obvious. Is this going to interfere with things? Do you think this is going to be implemented in a way that will be messing with the war? And how do you relate that to the previous open letter that the CSM had all gotten together and agreed on?
I think that it would be more accurate to refer to the letter as stating that we recommended that nothing changed the war. Nothing was released that changed the, that would change the outcome or the course of the war, rather than us telling CCP not to do it, because we can't tell CCP not to do things, but we just did want to prove our neutrality.
You totally can.
You can. They just
you
don't
choose
listen.
Not to. But yeah, don't you can see CSM in a lot of different ways. But the question do you guys think this is going to be like, I don't even know when like the release timeline on this thing is, because it's not
well,
been a high priority.
It depends where the storm strikes, doesn't it?
We're expecting that they'll be striking in 1DQ1 immediately. That's sort of the assumption amongst my people, and that's why they're asking about it, because we weren't born yesterday. Also, incidentally, if any developers are watching, we are going to start using Munins a lot more, so it's going to be okay for you to nerf them, because we do understand that that is how these things work. But, you know, I'm personally... I from a defensive perspective, even if these things do end up hitting and being involved in the war in some capacity, you know... having things be like a no cloaking zone, cool, right? Like, I'm cool with it. That's
it does affect both sides, yeah.
Well, that's, you know, that upon, I think is depending upon who is on the offense or the defense side. But I guess it kind of depends. What, do we know? Like, when do we think these things are going in? Have they?
They haven't given us a timeline, and it wasn't made clear. I would assume something like this. They're going to have to test it on CC because this has a lot of working parts. And yes, it's cobbled together. There's already weather in Abyssal Dead Space. There's already weather in Wormholes. They know how to do weather. This roaming mechanic is new, though. And I think
this isn't a ship balance change with some stats that they can spring on us in one day.
So, well, they better fucking not. I mean, if they decide, oh, by the way, the weather starts tomorrow, and you know, they're going to hear another earful from me about it.
I don't think they're going to do that. I don't think they're going
to
do that.
I don't think so either. But I mean, to Mitani's point, I think yes. Obviously, we have the CSM made it clear, and we talked about this. We met with Team Ra that's doing these events. Actually, no, it's not Ra. That's Event Ra. Is it Ra? I can't remember.
The team
that's doing the event, we met with them. They went over all of this stuff with us. And I think I told them, others told them flat out, said, look, this is something that has potentially could impact the war. It is something that if it disproportionately impacts one side or the other, you're going to hear about it. And if all of a sudden all of these storms start converging on Delve at the same time, regardless of whether that's completely random or not, you're going to have a lot of people pissed off and angry. So just be prepared and deal with it. And they understood, but this is something that they've been working on for a while. If you guys recall, they made this announcement that this was something they were working on at eVegas last year. I mean, Rise had it in his keynote. So that's how we kind of knew that this weather stuff was out there. But we made it clear. We said, look, you know, at the end of the day, if this has an impact on the war, you're going to hear about it. To Phantomize point, it does impact both sides equally. It doesn't impact structures. It just impacts the subcaps.
I think it should, to be honest, but yeah.
Well, it doesn't. I mean, yeah, maybe it should. And I think, frankly, you know, if you're looking at this, and I look at this stuff as a testbed, really. Like, you've got things where no cloaking. You've got things with, you know, weapon damage buffs and warp speed buffs and changes to, you know,
they're trying to use the storm to change the meta of how you fight,
right? And it's about disruption, and I understand that. This is kind of like a little mini chaos thing, and I think they could probably plug in different types of stuff with different storms. I'd love to see a no tether storm. I'd love to see
exactly
a storm that turned off tether. I'd love to see a local blackout.
I feel that half of the point of the storm should be infrastructure affecting.
But that I think right now, that I think would go way too far given what's going on worldwide.
I think it should affect infrastructure. I don't think it should be introduced now during this war.
What sort of infrastructure ideas do you have?
Like, you know, the storm turns off all of the Ansiblex structures, that kind of thing, you know. The storm is here. Batten down the hatches. Oh. You're going to have to weather it for 48 hours.
That sounds like a genius idea. That's, no, I mean, that's...
And see that we'll see the tyrant.
I always have to think about these things because I'm like, okay, you're like the low sec and like high sec kind of like CSM dude, right?
Oh, don't touch me with that high sec stick.
Yeah, like have you ever used like a soft structure for something?
Oh yeah, yeah. Jumped through a few Ansiblex gates. I think who hasn't?
Well, I mean, you do have to ask after CSM 5. You know, it does always make me a little concerned after the whole, like, CSM 5, let's remove jump bridges from the game, even though we don't have anybody from NullSec there kind of thing. So we do always have to be on guard for people who have strong opinions about how things should be in NullSec when they're not from that territory. But regardless, we'll see how the storms go. I did tune in on that. And,
I mean, it's from the point of view of if the storm is meant to shake up an area for a short amount of time, then what better thing to do than to make people pull the hatches on their house and batten down the hatches and get ready to weather the storm and then come back out again and get the hammer and nails out and fix things.
Okay.
I can see it. So,
all right. What else we got?
All right. So that's basically the end of the regular stuff. So I thought at this point, we got 20 minutes in the show left. We haven't talked about the war yet. So I think it's time for us. We have a new segment that we're doing now. That's our war update segment. And I think you guys will enjoy it. We wanted to make sure that there was at least a new transition, something that's talking about the fact that we are in the middle of this big war and get everybody hyped up. So here we go with our new war update. And we are back. It is time for our war update today. I am your war update host, Fountain Frank. I am happy to be here. Thank you for sticking with us, Phantom Mite. Thank you for sticking with us, the Mitanni. Let's talk about everything that's happened today in World War B. The first thing that we need to talk about is the most important thing that happened, which unfortunately for our friends in the culture, was the fact that they lost their Keepstar in J5A. Now, this is a very sad thing. I will throw the kill mail up for you guys to see. It's unfortunate. It was fully rigged. They had a big fight. Unfortunately, none of these guys showed up to contest it. I can't believe that the culture would just decide they didn't want to keep this Keepstar, but they
didn't. Can you call it a fight?
I guess there were 3,000 people there to kill the culture's Keepstar. I mean, I feel bad for them.
They hard blue-balled. Harvey Skywalker must have made the strategic decision to hard blue-ball, and I think it was a reasonable choice for the culture. Our sympathies to the culture for their loss of the J5A Keepstar.
And the worst thing is, 3,000 people there. I don't think I'd turn up either.
That's 3,000 people all to whore on this poor structure for these guys that aren't even in this war. I mean, poor Ragnar Bile. How could you do this to him, Panfan?
The J5A Keepstar never hurt anyone. It was a monument to space neutrality and a better future for Cloud Ring, which is, of course, a former Imperium region that we regrettably had to let go of. But J5A was an embassy system, and the J5A Keepstar, of course, it was a sophisticated place. So yeah, no, it's.
We are saddened and chagrined by the fact that the culture's Keepstar is dead. And I understand that Horde has plans to destroy their own Keepstar in IGE tomorrow, which I can't believe because, you know, after they put all the work in to painting that Keepstar to look like an Init Keepstar and to make sure that everybody believed that it was an Init Keepstar, they're going to go and blow up their own Keepstar tomorrow. I mean, I know Horde is full of spies and AWOXers, but really, I mean, think of the money you guys could make if you just left it up. I mean, that would be so much better. I feel very upset for Horde that they have to do all of this work to blow up their own stuff, almost as much as I feel bad for the culture for losing their Keepstar today. Now, this week in the war, you know what's happened this week in the war, Mittens?
What's that?
Fucking nothing. I don't understand it. There has been nothing going on this week. In fact, I will take you guys through the most important fight that happened this week. Happened in the early hours of this morning, AU time zone, when, as amazing as it sounds, I can't believe this, you have Krabs, Test Alliance, instead of fighting up north and helping to get rid of the Horde Keepstars that are literally plaguing Fountain right now, instead of trying to clear out all of the Deadwood, or actually doing something in Quirius, which apparently I thought Quirius was a huge, major, important region.
Very important region.
I guess it's not anymore. They're out crabbing. And a joint Goon Swarm initiative task group came together and killed our Rorquals while they were out crabbing. This is what happens to you guys. When you're not willing to fight the war, and all you want to do is crab in the middle of the night, goons will be there. Innit will be there. We are watching you. And we will kill all your stuff. And we'll only lose a billion ISK worth of ships to do it, and we will kill 20 billion. So I feel bad for the PanFam guys who seem to think that they're doing all this work while Test is out crabbing. But we're going to do our best in the initiative and in goons and the rest of the Imperium to make sure that every crab that is out Rorqual mining and not fighting this war, they know we're coming for them. So hey, that's the big war that's the big fight that happened this week. I want to talk about.
You know, it was actually so. I'm sorry. It's really hard for me. I'd be a terrible straight man because it's hard for me to like not just crack up and lose my shit whenever Fountain.
Somebody clip Mittens saying I'll be a terrible straight man. Thank you.
Well, you know, honey, I am fabulous. so the real talk. It has been an interesting week from. There's been a whole bunch of border skirmishes. Essentially, the number of attacks that have been coming in through Quirius and through period basis have been slowly declining. And that's not because of, I say this a lot because people need to know it. It's not for lack of trying on the part of Legacy. Like, it's not that they are not forming up and trying to come into our space and accomplish things. It's that we're stopping them and we're killing them and we're blowing the fuck out of our space whenever they try to come in. We have seen a number of, I guess let's talk about Quirius, right? So Quirius is like Schrodinger's floodplain because it is both critically important and yet also completely useless. When we started the war, we said that Northern Quirius was a floodplain and completely useless, which is why we had an alt alliance, the United Earth Directorate, which was Silvitny's PLA's sort of project. They decided that they were going to try to defend this and created an alt alliance to do it. And at the early parts of the war, you had like Brave and Evictus going, oh my God, we took Quirius and we took it all in one weekend and it's such a big deal and Quirius is so important. And, you know, Goon Swarm is saying it's a floodplain and the Mitanni calls it a floodplain, new floodplains, floodplains.
Quirius has a rash.
I love the fact that me calling things a floodplain drives puppies crazy. We started fighting back because once the enemy had taken territory that was within our tantrum radius, it became much easier for us to then go on the offense against territory that we had lost in the floodplain. And then after about 3 days, after initially like squabbling about who would get like what territory, because they're totally going to live there, Brave and Evictus realized that they had done fucked up in the same way that Test had done fucked up by trying to take XE TAC, is you take something and then we're like, okay, well, we're just going to hack it and we're just going to fuck you here. We had in today's space meetings, just a couple hours ago, we're like, oh, gee, we have this problem where our logistics division is unprepared for the fact that suddenly we're randomly taking iHubs back every other hour. Not every hour, it's like two or three a day now because the guys are just, they took this super important Quirius area that we had decided not to defend except for a PLA and Silvitny with UED. And now we're taking it back. So, we have in Goon Swarm Federation, the Alliance, now under WAF, which is like our main corporation for having hubs and stuff, we have more hubs in Quarius now than we had at the start of the war. So we have actually been gaining territory in this region. Now, I'm not going to spin this. Like, it's a floodplain. It was a floodplain before. It was a floodplain regardless of what Brave and Invictus told everybody and convinced themselves that, oh my God, it really mattered. And now, after a few days, they have come to recognize that, lo and behold, I was right the entire time. I have been right the entire time. It's a floodplain, and I'm glad that you guys have finally acknowledged that it's a floodplain, and we're going to take it back if you guys want to come at it again. But yeah, no, it's a fucking floodplain. It is.
People
it
in
is
chat are asking where goons are going to live at the end of this war.
Delve.
In Delve.
You know, another
right. thing, I didn't even have to say it, gentlemen.
I just want to point out here, this war started. All right, this is another thing that blows my mind. I'm just gonna troll until we get some life out of the puppies in chat that I can shoot a few of them. This whole situation with this war, the nip slip. Remember, that was July 5th. July 5th, 1 month and 3 days ago. 1 month and 3 days ago. Is this it? Is that all you got, Legacy? Is that all you got? You're tired. Your leaders are tired. They're sick of forming up because you didn't build up any kind of organizational depth. The lack of it's pathetic. Mittens, at least PanFam is presenting an example of like a somewhat organized front. The Eastern Front, we're very disappointed in you. And we're going to take it out on Test, of course. We will have to basically leverage this disappointment and take it out of Test's hide, because Test is still next. I'm going to keep repeating this because I want to make sure you guys don't forget. No matter what happens, let's say that goons get kicked all the way back to NPC Delve or something, unless PanFam is willing to defend Test forever, you're going to get it. We're coming for you. It's going to be fun for us, because you guys are already tired after 1 month and 3 days.
I know. I wanted to, so, Phantom, I go ahead and talk, and then I wanted to point something.
Yeah, I was just going to say, for a LoSec resident here who doesn't know anything about NullSec, could we just clarify once and for all what part isn't floodplain? Exactly what won't be lost?
Well, what is more defensible is different from what won't be lost, right? Like, we can defend a castle. Well,
I mean, what's not floodplain?
It. Floodplain's a Delve core. And there are things that are within jump range of areas in Delve Core that we designate as systems that we're defending. Yeah. So
things within jump range of Delve Core.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to tell you the exact system, because why would I be revealing that? But there's areas of Quarius that are clearly Delve defensible. You can pretty much figure out what we're defending by what we're defending.
So my question is, why are they bothering to attack the floodplains?
Because they don't understand mechanics.
So, this
like,
is the question.
They don't know. They think TCUs matter. They thought North Aquarius mattered because it's all, everything I say is spin. Everything I say about Sov War and Block War is just Mitanni lies and spin.
You told us exactly what isn't floodplain.
That's what they think. But I can say that the sky is blue, and they will say that I'm spinning it, and I've actually put like contacts on everybody's eyes that makes them see a blue sky, but it's actually green. So this is how the game works, and they'll be like, oh no, he's spinning. And then, oh wow, actually North Aquarius is a huge pain in the ass, and it's indefensible for anybody.
And nobody cares about it. That's why it was Quarius Fight Club in the first place. And here's the thing. Like, Mittens makes one-off comment in a fireside saying Fortress Fountain, when no one in the history of the game has ever been able to hold Fountain if they've been pushed out of it. Everybody, Test has lost it.
Well, it doesn't have the right geography to be a fortress, does it?
It can't.
Precisely.
No way.
Geography is every... I mean, basically, to understand it, no it's all geography. It's about capital ranges, and it's about reinforcement from staging systems.
Yeah,
so,
and Delve only has like 4 gates into it anyway.
Delve is a very nice region. We're big fans of Delve.
One of the reasons why all the big groups at some point want to take Delve and hold on to it. And that's
you
why
heard it here, guys. There should be no more questions about what isn't floodplain. Delve core is not floodplain.
Phantomite, here's the thing. As much as I love my comrades in the unwashed masses, they are impervious to the truth. And we have been telling them the truth on this show for weeks, and they don't want to hear it. And we're going to keep telling them the truth, regardless of what they think about it, for as long as we draw breath.
You want to do that thing where you like attach messages to balloons and fly them over to the enemy so they can read the truth?
That's a great idea. We should be doing that. That's part of what the point of the show is. We are going to provide you with the truth. The truth like the poor culture losing their Keepstar today. The truth like Innit has never been in Fountain. This has always been a Horde region. Things like that are so obvious that you can see with your own eyes. I don't know how. Look at Dotland right now. Look at IGE. It says Horde on the top of it. Look at J5A. It says Horde on the top of it. How do you people think that these are not Horde systems? I don't understand. Why are you acting like Innit should be there defending Horde stuff? I don't understand you. It makes no sense. Stop with the lies. Especially you, Vili. And you, Redline. And you, Ron the Crayon Eater. Stop with your lies. We will tell you the truth. And the truth will set you free.
There is a question here. So when we're talking about floodplains and like fortress regions, that's like internal Imperium lingo. I don't know if anybody else calls it that way. I guess they do now because of all the herf about it. But floodplains are areas that we consider to be indefensible. Because again, just as a reminder for context here, because I know that the puppies hate being reminded of it. 150,000 pilots blued each other with 103 alliances to come after the Imperium and our noble defenders, outnumbered 3-1 with, I think we have like 9 alliances, maybe 10 or 11 alliances. Now that we have like the penis people as our amazing mercenary group, I've been very happy with that. Our Stainrus allies and Farah. And we mentioned this on the fireside, but I might as well make it official on the meta show as well for people that obviously miss the fireside. Fringe Connection. The puppies had complained so much on their stupid little coalition map where they were claiming that like Fringe Connection was part of the Imperium, even though they weren't, that when all of this started, we were like, hey guys, like if you're going to like do the time, you might as well do the crime, right? You know, come on board. If you're interested in joining the Imperium, you're welcome to. And I'm delighted that a few days ago that they did accept. So Fringe Connection is now officially a member of the Imperium, which is awesome. But you know, we're fighting out number 3-1 against all of Eve, and it is fascinating to me to see these people who come at us in these numbers expect some sort of like emotional catharsis from me or an acknowledgement from me of something that they want or they care about, or like, when are you going to admit that you're losing? When are you going to do this? When are you going to do that? You know, 150,000 puppies, we don't owe you people shit. Like, we don't owe you anything. You're coming at us in this way and you like expect that you're gonna get some sort of closure or some sort of entertainment or something like that. You don't deserve that. You're not.
Do they honestly think we're going to sit here on this show and cry into our anti pine cones coffee mugs? You can get them at your nearest retailer today. Do you think that we're going to do that and just sit here and cry and be, oh God, you know, can't believe.
Oh no.
Can't
oh no.
Horde killed their own Keepstar. It's a
freaking win-win for us. Because like worst case scenario, Goonswarm and the Imperium are swept back to NPC Delve and all the puppies win. You guys had 3-1 odds on us, 150,000 of you. I don't think it's going to be an issue. I don't really think it's a concern, but even if it did happen, you know, whatever, like your win doesn't count essentially because it took all of Eve. It is a really interesting perspective because it really makes me think of like planning to defend Delve from like a Great War perspective, because most of my like Sov War experience, occasionally when we would take Delve, which we've done several times over the course of Gunswarm's history, with the exception of the Great War, which was like with the disband, most of our action there has been on offense, right? And this is the first time I think that we have had, I mean, after we initially took Delve, we then had to do some of the defense things when we were first taking it from Bob. But planning a Sov defense for Delve has been absolutely fascinating because it is regionally, it's so awesome. Like, it's just such an ideal little region. And then the fact that there's NPC Delve in the core of it I can actually kind of see why the Bob guys were going like, oh, you know, let's get everybody to attack Delve if some jerks didn't like disband their alliance and destroy all their defenses. But having defenses in Delve and being able to get ready for this and having like the geography of it, it's just, you really couldn't ask for a better region as far as more place
areas,
to defend.
Do you think that more areas and Eve could do with having their geography subtly adjusted to provide those kind of fortresses elsewhere? Or do you think that Delve should be made less of a fortress?
I think that NPC NullSec should be added in every NullSec region. I think that having safety is something that makes for boring gameplay. I advocated for this all the way back when I was on the CSM. It's something I've always advocated for, is that I think one of the reasons why, you know, the pubbies thought that when they were going to come attack us, that we were going to be weak and that they would be able to get rid of us easily. And one of the reasons why that has not panned out is that I think in many ways they were projecting based upon their own experiences in their regions, right? Like if you live in Amist, if you live in Impasse, if you live in Malpay, and you're living in a region where there is no real threat, there's no real risk,
there's no foothold,
they rot, right? They rot away because they don't have to be wary, they don't have to be on their guard, they don't have to work together in order to constantly be aware of the fact that out of NPC delve, it is very easy to get into NPC delve, and it's very easy to attack from there in terms of small-scale harassment. We have always had to sort of maintain, even in peacetime, a degree of, like, goons die, the stupid get weeded out, the smart ones learn and survive. And I really think that every single NullSec region in EVE should have a little core of NPC space, because those regions are just more fun for everybody, right? It should require an empire. As a stepping stone, essentially. As a place for
guerrillas to base
a little. You need a place for, like, little groups of people that want to, like, fight the man or something, to be able to set up shop and, you know, basically keep you on your toes, right?
Every big alliance needs
people like that
should have
to
their own
fight
Omeka.
Us. Yeah, every
big
yeah, exactly.
alliance should have their own Omeka.
Or like or a MOA or whatever, like, you know, you see this in the regions where there is NPC space. So, like, I mean, Geminate is, like, super close to Empire in the first place, but you know, Geminate has Dark Side and that crew, Pure Blind in that area always has some action going on. Fountain has, you know, the Fountain Bulgarians, who have always been there and always will be there, Gangbang team and that crew. And, you know, NPC delve is usually a hotbed of some sort of hijinks, and I think that one of the outside of war stuff, right? I think that every NullSec region should never be safe, right? And the way that you solve that is providing a foothold for little groups that don't need sort of an enterprise level of organization and systems management and tens of thousands of people to be able to just, you know, run around in a stealth bomber and try to gank some nerds.
How about it be a good NPC station as well, rather than one of those horrible ones that sends you straight downwards?
Right. Yeah, not the toilet bowls.
Well, that's one thing I did. One other thing I wanted to mention is one of the reasons why I think nobody wanted to come defend the J5A Keepstar of the Culture Lost today was because whoever put it up like they had no idea what the hell they were doing, and it was completely, like, not centered correctly to get an insta warp to the gate.
Don't talk to me about mispositioned citadels.
I've spent so much time in J5A, you know, when I was harassing Horde there, that I've seen them warping off that Keepstar so many times, and I feel bad because it's so misaligned. So I think everybody, frankly, they did the world a benefit by getting rid of this misaligned Keepstar.
Tell you what, Brisk, do you know what you've just mentioned? I think I'm going to ask CCP to add a tug to the game so that you can spend 24 hours turning a citadel.
After it's in there, there you go. Now, there's one other thing about Keepstars and Keepstar fights that I wanted to mention. We were talking about, I believe Asher mentioned this on the fireside today, but this is something that I think is funny. So we are 33 days into the war. It has been a month and a week. The culture losing their Keepstar, it was the first time we lost. There was a Keepstar loss that we've seen in Fountain so far. It pains my heart as Fountain Frank to see us lose a Keepstar in Fountain, even though it was not ours. Tomorrow, Horde's going to lose their Keepstar in IGE because nobody's going to show up to defend it, and they're going to blow it up themselves. That's what happens. So there's two Keepstars down in Fountain, undefended, in a month and a week. There are something like four more Keepstars in Fountain, I think, still, and 50, 60 some Keepstars in Delve. That's enough time that theoretically, even if nobody ever fought you at all, it would literally take a year to clear out all that space just of the Keepstars. Good luck with that.
We have like 150 plus Fortizars in Delve alone. There's like 3,000. No, wait, was it 3,000 or is that the total? There is a 3,000 number in there. That might be our total number of citadels in Delve. I think it's like 1,600 Athanors. I forget how many Tataras. One of the things that's interesting that I'm looking forward to our enemies discovering is that we have refit all of our sort of industrial citadels for combat purposes. Like, they're not designed to be, obviously you can't really make like a freaking Tatara, like a super combat citadel.
And they're full of bombs.
Yeah, but it is actually kind of cool because you can make them really nasty speed bumps. And one of the things that we have never gotten to do. So, you know, spin aside, let's or me just being a dick aside, one of the things that has been really interesting for us is the process of figuring out how to defend citadels against when you're heavily outnumbered. Because typically speaking, we are on the other side of that equation. Like, we are usually the ones on offense, purging keep stars. Up until this war, we've never had to like seriously learn how to defend a Keepstar. And, you know, there's been a lot of challenges there, right? Like, when the enemy has a huge blob of fighters, what do you do about that? And so we've had to try to figure that out on these Fountain Keepstars and go like, okay, you know, we need to learn how to do this by the time that they get to Delve. And we also want to slow them down as much as possible and make it as miserable and unfulfilling as an experience as possible. Because we don't owe our enemies
anything.
A horrible
game that encourages that, eh?
well, you know, if 150,000 people come after you and they tell you that you owe them something, even though all the time they're trying to get rid of you and your friends and say,
what do they say you owe them?
They say that all the time. Every time, they might not say it openly, but every time that they ask for anything from
us, we owe them good fights.
They believe and they assume that they are entitled to something from us. And the only thing that they're entitled from us is ashes and suffering. In the game, of course. And emotionally. In the game when they play the game, because they could choose to go someplace else. They could choose to do something else. And my job is to defend our people, and our people does not include our enemies. So anyway, so it's a process of making it slog, making it miserable, because this is what you get if you attack the Imperium, and then figuring out how to do it. So I was very excited to see some of the Ferox antics we were up to the other day. We tried tornadoes out. They did not work. It turns out hitting fighters is a big pain in the ass, and fighters are tough because of the sort of invulnerability frame after you destroy one. And it's just been really interesting to sort of like watch this process and learn how to fight on these things and gear them up, because this is the first time we've really had to have like a sustained citadel defense. Like, we obviously we've lost citadels in like the deployment against Snuffed Out and things like that. But actually getting out there in like a serious block war level, we're usually the ones on offense. So it has been really interesting to kind of get to do this aspect of the gameplay. And obviously we haven't dialed it in yet because we, the culture lost a Keepstar, you know, whatever. We lost a Keepstar in J5A. We didn't turn up for it. We have been experimenting with the IGE thing. We'll see how things go in the next couple of days. But I expect, because of the geography, to lose the stuff that's in the floodplains, because it is what it is. But I think it's going to be really interesting the next couple of days just to see how these fights go down. I don't know what sort of counters the bad guys are going to have, but it's been neat, I guess is the way to say it. Like, our guys are having a lot of fun with this thing because we basically get idiot nerds delivered on our doorstep to Haze all day, every day. It's especially with the Legacy front, it's pretty brutal.
We had fun reffing the entire Jump Ridge network from FAT to Quirius while these guys were out killing Culture's Keepstar today. So I hope you have fun not being able to move around for a couple hours. Now, we obviously would not trumpet that as a major win because who gives a shit about Jump Ridges, but we thought it was cute. So there you go. Sorry if you guys have trouble moving around for a couple hours.
Oh, wow. I started thinking about like tactic stuff and I didn't realize we were 5 minutes over. We should probably wrap things up so I can go finish the rest of this burger.
Oh, that's a good point. And, yes, gentlemen, you have been enjoying yourselves with extra time. We will take that out of next week. All right, everybody. Phantomites, thank you for joining us today. We really appreciate having you on the show. It was great to have you make your meta show debut.
Thank you.
I'm looking forward to working with you the rest of the CSM. Everybody, thank you for joining us. Today was the meta show. It was August the 8th, 2020. We talked about a lot of stuff. I am Fountain Frank. Pine cones to Linda Est. You stay classy, New Eden.
Cheers, guys. See you next week.